This is September 23rd, 2018, teacher meeting in Dubai. General questions that you want to do before we go into this?
Just one main question, that these kids are not ISKCON kids, and there may be a case where there are some ISKCON kids and there are non-ISKCON kids also in the same class. So, how to structure it in a way that they also understand, and at the same time they don't feel intimidated by the fact that those kids know a little bit more than.
Yeah, well, this probably means having a small amount of full group activities and then breaking up into separate groups. You know, even in a regular school, they have activities for like the gifted kids and activities for kids with special needs. Mm-hmm. So you consider this, you could consider that is like spiritually gifted. They have more what we would call cultural capital. Can you all understand my English if I speak at this pace?
Yes.
Is that all right?
Yes.
My natural speaking is very fast. So if I'm going too fast, will you tell me?
Yes.
This has to be my agreement with everybody.
Yes.
Because especially when I get excited about the topic, I go to my natural speech patterns and I forget that I'm speaking fast. So, is that all right? So what you're talking about is what's called religious capital or cultural capital. So just like with money, you have a certain amount of money. So if you have a certain amount of knowledge and skills, that's also a kind of capital. Do you understand? So sociologists call this religious capital. Just like when I first came to Krishna consciousness, I didn't know any of the people in the Shastra. You know, so I'm reading in the Krishna book and Arjuna and Draupadi. I don't know who these people are. I have no reference point. It took me 2 years in ISKCON before I had some idea who these people were and what their relationship was to each other. You know, I just didn't know. And same thing happens sometimes with our children. If they go work in the world, they don't know, you know, who is Peter Pan. And my youngest son told me that when he started working, that people would make references to things. He said that he rented a bunch of children's movies. He was like 25 years old to watch. So he would have some idea of their capital. I thought, better you watch at 25 than at 5. So I was all right. But you're looking at groups with different, we could say, spiritual capital. And not only knowledge and skills, but also probably purification. So you can think of them as they're like a more advanced group. And in any school, a good curriculum, they will have separate topics for the more advanced group. Mm-hmm. So the same with different ages. You know, you want to give a general, first you start with a general presentation for everybody, and then you split. And different ages and different levels do different things that are all related to the main topic. And you can circulate and work with different groups. The best thing is in each particular class that you have some activities where the children can do mostly by themselves for certain groups, and you have only one group that requires a lot of input from you. And then in each class, you vary which group that is, so that over a month, you're giving a lot of attention to each group. Do you all understand what I'm saying? Would it help? We have a flip chart. Aha! You are so professional. Okay, so imagine it like this. You can hear me without the mic, yeah?
Yes.
Okay. So, let's say you have your full group. Wait, I take that back.
Back.
So, you have your... One thing, if you can be tolerant with me, because I work with children for so many years, I'm sometimes a little childlike myself. So I hope you can excuse me. So let's say this is your whole group. Do you have mixed ages also?
Yes.
And in each age group, you have some devotees and some non-devotees.
Yes.
Okay, what do you think is the maximum number of groups you can handle, you think? Four?
In a group?
Three? No, yeah. When three is not going to be enough. You're going to have at least four.
Four.
You're going to have at least four. Because you're going to have the young non-devotees and the young devotees, and you're going to have the older non-devotees and the older devotees. I mean, really, like in our festival books, we've divided into four or five age groups. But then if in each age group you have non-devotees and non-devotees, that gives you eight groups. So for one teacher, for eight groups is a little much. I mean, if you're expert, you could do eight groups. If you're really expert, you could do 30 students and each person is doing something different. But you could start with four. So what is your usual age range? What is the ages?
From 4 to 14.
Okay, so we have to split it at least by readers and non-readers. I don't know, what do you think? Where should we make the split in age?
4 to 7.
We have groups according to the classes. And they are group A, B, C, T becomes one group, and group D, E, F becomes another group.
And what are the ages?
Ages from 1, A, B, C becomes from 4 to 10.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is going to be age 4 to 10. I mean, it should be, that's a big gap. And this is like 11 to 14? Is that right?
4 to 7.
Hmm?
4 to 7. Yeah, I think 4 to 7 is better.
Well, it's better, but you can't put 8 to 14.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
4 to 7, one group, Mataji. From 8 to 14, one group we are doing.
My suggestion is, you know, you're going to lose your teenagers if you do this. You know, it's... Teenagers have a very different mentality.
Yeah, separate cohort.
And if you're going to stick 8 and 9 year olds with your teenagers, best would be you have 3 or 4 groups, but because you have to split non-devotees and devotees, if you're expert, you could do 6 groups. You understand?
If you have an assistant, somebody to...
Oh, if you have an assistant. How many of you have an assistant?
You have to engage.
So some of you have an assistant. If you have an assistant, then you could do 6. And then you could do, 4 to 7, 8 to 11, and 12 to 14. And then 2 and 2. So with an assistant, you could do 6 groups. Ideally, you should do 8, but that's... You'd have to have 2 teachers, not teacher and assistant, but 2 actual teachers. But I think for one person, this is manageable. Okay. So let's just call these groups, what should we call these groups? ABCD, you already have a program, so that will make things confusing. We'll just call it 1, 2, 3, 4. So you have week... These are weekly classes only?
Yes.
Once a week. Now, one thing about having 4 to 10 here is that the older children can help the younger children also. If you just do 4 to 7, I told you I'm like a little child. I warned you, yeah? You're not offended? So that gives you some advantage when you're only one person. All of you are only one person, right? So little advantage. So in each of these weeks, so you want to have one group that you're going to focus on as the teacher. You know, so in week one, you can focus on group one, and week two, focus on group like this. Now, that doesn't mean you don't pay attention to the other groups, but it means one group gets more of your focus. And this way, if you keep cycling through the groups, because it's not, you're not going to be able to have a situation where you give equal attention to all of the groups every week. So that means you want to have activities. So in week one, group two, three, and four have activities that are semi-independent. You check on them. So how much time do you have for class? An hour?
Yes.
One and a half hours.
Big children, 1 hour. Small children, 1 hour.
So the small children leave early? How does that work?
We have split the class in such a way that...
Probably I can just intervene a bit, Madhuri.
Please.
This is the way we actually do our classes.
I want to know how you actually do them. I don't want to know what you would like to do.
Yeah, we would like to bring a change. That's the actual...
Let's start with actual.
So if I can just represent our... If anybody can say. So this is how we've been doing our classes. We start the classes with prayers. Get the focus together. So opening prayers, we have a set of opening prayers that we chant, and then we go on to teaching the shloka of that particular week, and we discuss a bit on the shlokas, and then we that takes about 20 minutes for the set to settle and chant one small mala of 27 beads. So we do just that's an icebreaker, and then the opening prayers, then the Bhagavad Gita shloka, which they actually memorize in the class. So that takes almost about 20 to 25 minutes.
For that, all that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we jump into doing the story that we're supposed to be like Balaram or anything related to that. And we have discussions on that, and it depends on the individual teachers whether they take it as a role play or just a storytelling or some quiz or something like that. So the teachers individually deal that in their classes. Then we end the class either with the bhajan and the closing prayers or with the game. So that's how you all do.
And you are keeping all the children together doing same thing.
Yes. Some of us have split classes, that is between the group A, B and C, almost ranging from the age groups, ages of 4 to 10. And class 2 for between 10 and 11 and 14.
So most. So sometimes the two different age children are in different classes.
In two different days.
Different days.
Yeah. So they don't come together on a particular day.
Okay. How many of you have all this have four to 14 together at one time? So like half. So if you already have only older children or only younger children, it is much easier.
Yes.
Obviously. And then you only have to split at one point into devotees and non-devotees. So it's during that hour that you're going to split.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you do to review? This is a different question. What do you do to review the slokas? If you're teaching a different sloka every week, how do they review all the slokas?
They chant the previously taught shloka in the next class. That's the revision.
So they, that's only one revision.
Yeah.
But how do they review all the slokas that they've learned? They don't.
We have the competition called the Uttama Shloka Recitation. So all the shlokas that we've accumulated over the year, it's all done on a, and they keep practicing the last month before the...
So they are practicing at home?
Yeah, and in the class. We give them additional...
That's what I'm asking. What do you do in the class for the whole cumulative 52 slokas?
Yeah.
Like,
say, if I have already taught them 10 shlokas, so the 11th week, I will make them to say all the 10 shlokas. Yeah.
Yes, that is exactly right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Now, every year do you repeat the same 52 slokas or do you do a new one the next year? Do they actually remember all of that? Do you ever do cumulative, like if you have children there for 5 years, Do you ever do cumulative review for the whole 5 years?
No. That's the next target that we are getting to do. We have to get the accumulated.
So, my suggestion, have you tried to test and see if any of your children actually know all the cumulative? You don't think they do?
They don't. Yeah,
they don't.
They don't.
By some previous year, they don't.
Okay.
Big children, they know. Big children, they do remember.
Some shlokas.
Some shlokas, they remember.
But not everything.
Not all.
Like when we say the translation and ask which shloka, they are able to say.
Yeah, that is only the last year.
Not for like 3 years previous. Okay, so I told this story many times and I will tell it again. So the Sanskrit scholar Gopi Puranadana, you are familiar. If you've read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he has translated that. Krishnastava, he's passed away some years ago. But he was a top BBT scholar for the BBT, and he was also a personal friend of our family. He used to teach Sanskrit in our Gurukula. So when we first moved to North Carolina, he was there, and we had asked him to teach in the Gurukul, and he asked me, how many slokas do your students know? And I was very proud, and I said, they know all the slokas in the Bhagavad Gita, because we had a program to teach the whole Bhagavad Gita. And he said, oh, I would like to hear this. Bring out your best student. So I brought one of my best students, start reciting, and she was reciting, and then he stopped, and he said, tell me this sloka. She couldn't do it. Tell me this one. She couldn't do any of them. It was very embarrassing for me. I was just like completely humiliated. And then he looked at me and he said, I don't know if any of you, have any of you met Gopi Puranadana? Any of you ever met him? Oh, that's very sad. Very humble devotee. You would never ever know he was one of the biggest scholars in ISKCON. Never know. Have you met Bhanu Swami?
Yes.
Something like that. Similar. He's a very humble devotee. And he said, Urmila, better 25 slokas learned properly than 700 slokas learned improperly. So I was trying to find, well, what are the... And also I heard, I don't know if I can find the quote, but I heard that Srila Prabhupada said, if you know 30 key slokas, you can preach on anything. So then I was working with Gopi Puranadana Prabhu and Dravida, you know Dravida? And a few other big scholars in ISKCON, and I said, how do we get these 25 slokas? And we couldn't get 25. We got 48 from the Gita, so we were able to bring it down to 48 from the Bhagavad Gita. So then I made a book, which we have. Do you have that book, the illustrated Bhagavad Gita? Okay, do all of you have a phone right now?
Yes.
Okay, can you go to my website just right now? I have learned that if you tell people to do it later, nothing happens. So go to urmiladevidasi.org. urmiladevidasi.org.
It's all the same, one name.
All one, yeah.
Yeah.
And then go to free educational materials. And then go to children and youth. So urmiladevidasi.org, free educational materials. There's many, many things there. Children and youth, and you should see illustrated Bhagavad Gita. Can you find it? Anybody found it? Who has found it? Free educational materials. If you have a phone or a tablet here, please go online now.
Yes,
and then it's the illustrated Bhagavad Gita. Can you find it? It should be in children and youth. Should be under it should be illustrated Bhagavad Gita. That's, you're in youth and adults. You're not in children and youth. You're in youth and adults. You want children and youth.
children and youth, and then
Illustrated Bhagavad Gita. Why am I getting such a bad connection in here?
Children will.
Okay, you're not even on the website yet.
Okay, I've booked.
Okay, so then here, select free educational materials. You have for academic schools, for children and youth, and then Bhagavad Gita. Now, why am I getting such a bad
message?
Do you know if there's, is there a problem with the Wi-Fi in there?
I think all of us are logged in.
But I'm not even seeing it. Is it down? This also has audio files for each of these verses. Are we up? Good. Okay. So there's 48 verses here. And then there's another 20. So you have family tree, setting. This is all background material, which is very good for the children that are not devotees. This is a good book to give to all the children. And I use this in the Gurukul from ages 5 through 18. Okay, then for each verse, we have each of the 48 verses. We have the verse in Devanagari, in Roman letters, translation. Then we have a picture. Yeah, I'm going to make this a little smaller. Okay, then we have a picture. And then we have... You have this book, but you're not using it. Okay, what's nice about this is we also have instructions for teaching it. And then we have an additional... After the main verses, we also have an additional, 20 verses for advanced study. So if you have older students in your class who are devotees, and they've already done this, then they can, and they know it backwards, forwards, inside and out, then you can give them the 20 verses, if you don't have illustrated. These are all, okay. So these are the, this is them all together. And this is for the cumulative practice. So once a week we teach a verse. And then periodically we recite all 48 verses. And guess what? We do the same 48 verses every single year. We don't do new verses the next year. So that after the children are in the school for 2-3 years, they will know those verses, and they will know those verses for life. And then we have, if some students, are very good, because you will have some students who are very good. So for them, we have, if I can find, this is also more detail on the Bhagavad Gita itself, and then questions on the chapters. This is instruction for how to teach. And then we also have... Okay, here it is. So, here are verses for advanced study. So here's another 20 verses. So if you have children who already know your 48 verses, they know, they've been in your school 4 or 5 years, they already know them. When you are working with everyone else on the verse for the week, they can be working on these verses. But they also need to be doing whatever the cumulative practice is, and then they also need to be reviewing these verses. Now, if you do that, all of your students, every single student will know 48 Bhagavad Gita verses for life, and your advanced students will know 68 verses. And if you have some students that are very, very, very advanced, then let them take more. But otherwise, if you are doing another 52 verses every year and they are losing it, I don't know if I ever discussed this with you, but my general advice for any school, when you want to have a vision of your school, is you say, all right, if a child comes only 1 year, after 1 year, what will they know? If they come 2 years, what will they know? Because most children don't stay whole time, right? People are coming and going. This is a very, I would think this is a very transient community, isn't it?
Yes.
So after 1 year, after 2 years, and then maximum they could stay how many years? 10 years, huh? Maximum 10 years.
Yeah.
Well, from 4 to 14, 10 years. So I would suggest you do this on your own, without me, because I'm not here long enough. What do I want them to know after 1 year? What do I want them to know after 2 years? What do I want them to know after 10 years? Now, knowing, I would suggest you look at in three kinds of knowing. What will they have know in knowledge or information, skills, and character? So I'm looking at this. Everything in this is only here. Everything. You have nothing here. You have nothing here. Mm-hmm. And what you just told me is your schedule, is your general schedule, it's like 98% here. Little bit here. You're having a little bit japa skills, little bit kirtan skills, not much. And then you tell a story, you ask questions. My guess is your questions are all here kind of questions. So after 1 year, what will they know? What will they be able to do? And what kind of values and character will they have? After 2 years and after 10 years. So like the slokas, they will know those 48 verses in their sleep. Skills might be they will know how to offer arati, they will know how to put on tilak. That would be a skill. They will know how to offer obeisances. They will know how to use the sloka in preaching. That is also a skill. And then values and character. They'll be able to demonstrate humility and cleanliness and etiquette. Do you understand?
No.
But you want to look at all three of these. And then that vision should guide everything in your school. Does that make sense? So whatever you want everybody to know after 1 year, that you're really going to be emphasizing. And this should be something that you can have like on one laminated sheet of paper. What is your vision? And you have it in front of you. And when you're teaching, every week you make sure that you're focusing on some of those things, that they're being repeated. This would also give you consistency between your teachers. It should be maybe one or two sides of a laminated sheet. Every teacher gets it. Yes. That these are the things that you want to make sure in every class you're hitting some of them. And over 6 months you're going to hit all of them. You don't want to just hit the same ones over and over and over again. Am I making sense to everybody?
Yes.
Everybody understanding what
yes.
I'm saying?
Yes.
So you're going to have a list under here of different things for each of these. And this is what's going to be guiding you. So this is the focus. This is the focus. You can do other things, that's wonderful. But these things must be done. Huh? All right. We're trying to do like a semester of teaching instruction in an hour here. That's good. You're all hungry. You're hungry for knowledge. That's wonderful. Right? I'm not complaining, it's just a little challenging. Okay, so that is my suggestion with Slocus. If you want to go beyond that, one thing that we also did, of course we had a Gurukul, so that means we had 5 days, not one day. So our children also learned whole Brahma Samhita, whole Isha Upanishad, and whole Upadeshamrita. And each week we would review each day. So like Monday we would teach the sloka for the week and we would practice that all week. No cumulative practice. Then on Tuesday we would chant Brahma Samhita, then on Wednesday Isha Upanishad, Thursday Upadeshamrita, Friday cumulative Bhagavad Gita, all 48 Bhagavad Gita verses. And in that way, within 2 years in our school, those children knew 48 verses of Bhagavad Gita, all of Brahma Samhita, all of Upadeshamrita, and all of Isha Upanishad. And they know it for life. Even those children that are not so active anymore in Krishna consciousness, you know, and they're like 40 years old, they can still recite all those verses. How do I know this? Because sometimes they'll come to a program where I'm at, and like someone's, like Bhakti Kriswami likes to chant the Brahma Samhita, and those, they're sitting there and I see they're just singing also. And I can ask them any verse and they know. Even if they're only coming like for Janmashtami and Rathiyatra. So they have it. Because just like I remember for life the songs I learned when I was a little child, don't you? Yes? The songs I learned in school about how wonderful America is. I can sing them for you. And, you know, I don't normally sing them. I don't go around my house singing America songs. Really, I do not. But I can sing them for you because when I was a child, I sang them over and over and over and over and over in school, and they're just there. Huh? By the way, you can teach all kinds of things through songs. Okay, so let's go to also Balaram. And you're looking for this matrix, yeah?
Yes.
Okay, so let's go to the Balaram activity book. It's in all of the activity books. And in this one, it's in a funny place. Okay, see where it says matrix of Bloom's categories and Gardner's intelligence types? Do you see this?
Yes.
Where it says this, page 34? This is where it is in the Balaram book. In the other books, it's all the way at the end. The Balaram book is a little funny. For various reasons. But if you look at, say, the other books, if you look at the Govardhan Puja book, it's going to be at the end. So here again, matrix of Bloom's categories and Gardner's intelligence types. You can't remember all that. It just starts with the word matrix. And in Balaram's book, it's not at the very end, because there's something funny about the Balaram book. In the other books, they're all at the very end. Okay, it's like the last thing. And you also see here is a rubric. Rubric is how you evaluate what the children have done. Right? So when you're planning things, and especially for this, I mean, let's look at this for a moment. So this says, name Lord Balaram in the following incarnations, in Ram Lila and Kali Yuga. Okay, that's right here. That's verbal knowing. This is your lowest level. This whole knowing column, that's the lowest level. It doesn't demonstrate any understanding at all. It just demonstrates memory. And it may be short-term memory. Okay? It's only memory, and it may be short-term memory. It's not what you want. I mean, that's okay, but it's not the ultimate thing that you want. You want people actually to be in these top four as much as possible. They can't be in these top four unless they have understanding. So just looking at these here, Okay, now this one is a little bit, find the verse in the Bhagavad Gita that explains the purpose. Now, it depends. If you've already told the children that 4 and 9, I think it is, yeah? That 4, 8, 4, 9, yeah? That those verses explain the purpose. If you've already told them that, and they already know that, then this is again just memory. If you never told them that, and they have to figure it out, then it may be understanding or application even. But if any time they're just repeating something that you told them, or just doing again something that you told, like if you teach them a dance and then they just do it, that's kinesthetic knowing. It's still at a very low level. Or if you give them some art project and you say, okay, put the clay over here, put this over there, everybody do this, and they're just doing what you tell them, it's visual spatial, but it's just knowing. It's not on a deep level. These are your different talents here. These are your different talents. There may be more. And these are your different levels of understanding. And until something gets to like and at least applying, but especially analyzing, creating, and evaluating, it's not really a deep thing. Okay. Narrate one pastime that depicts Balaram's physical strength and shows us his other transcendental qualities. Again, if you've told them this is a pastime that demonstrates its strength, and they just narrate it back, that's knowing. If they narrate it in their own words completely, that is understanding. Right? If you have not told them that, and they have to figure it out, that would be a low level of applying. Color the picture, that is visual knowing. I mean, that's okay. It's not like you don't want to do anything there, but not so much. Okay. Write a prayer to Lord Balaram asking for spiritual strength. What is that?
Creating.
That is creating. Now, not only is that creating, that is only creating if you haven't told them exactly how to do it. If you've told them how to do it exactly, then it's not creating at all. It may be applying. If you've modeled it and you've shown them how to do it and you've walked them through it and then say now do it, that's just applying. Creating is something original. So if you haven't really shown them how to do it and they do it, that would be creating intrapersonal. Okay? But be very, very careful. Something can be just at a knowing level. If you've given it to them and they just copy it, that's just knowing. Okay, now what do we have here? Lord Balaram is fond of drinking viruti made of honey. Make at least 3 different beverages using honey and offer to the deities or to a pitcher and write down the recipe. So are they supposed to experiment with this?
Yes.
They're experimenting. Okay, so that's definitely in the creating. Again, it might be only applying. Depends how much you've given them. And what would that be? They're creating. I think it would be kinesthetic creating. And okay, tick the demons killed by Balaram. What's that? Not understanding. No, my dear friends, that is not understanding. That is not understanding. That is not understanding. That is not understanding. Understand. It's knowing. Understanding involves some sort of translation is going on. There's some kind of translation. And they are translating it. They are translating it from one thing to another. Okay? They are explaining it or demonstrating it in a different way than it was given to them. Okay, then over here, Obedience is required almost everywhere in our day-to-day life. Read the given examples and complete. Okay, so here, I have to think of rules, obedience to rules, these are the reasons, and disobedience. So when would this be knowing if you did what?
Given the example.
If you've already told them. So if you already told them all of this, and then they just write it down, that is knowing. What would make it understanding?
Give a personal example in your life, from your life.
Demonstrate.
Now demonstrate would be what?
Applying.
Applying. Yeah, give a personal example in your life.
Yeah.
That would show some understanding. Yes, very good. What about analyzing? Now this could be, it could be analyzing, if you're saying, what are the reasons? If they have to figure it out. And if they were discussing it among themselves, it could be interpersonal and analyzing.
They face a peculiar situation.
What would creating be? How would some original creating be with this?
Give them a case study or something.
Could be. What kind of a case study?
Like something happened and how they relate it to a... Yeah, like just like a real life situation and how do they...
That would be more analyzing. So if you gave them some real life situation or asked them to come up with a real life situation and see how it relates, that would be analyzing. What would creating be?
Or they become a teacher.
Okay. Creating a story, someone said, yeah? About... No, we finished the pictures. I gave up on that. That was so low level that I didn't even bother. So I'm talking about this one, because this has a lot more potential. So how would you do creating here?
They can create a dialogue, situational, and they show it in the
front. That's applying. Creating is really original thinking. Mm-hmm. So that's applying. Yeah, but I'm talking about for this lesson about disobedience. If you could give me a specific,
what would be creating? Make a drama.
That would probably be either understanding or applying. If they're making a drama and they're simply translating this from a list into a drama, that is understanding. It's not. They're not applying anything.
They can draw it.
With all respect, I can see that you're a very strong leader. And I was told this my whole life. So I have great sympathy for that. I don't like to say it to anybody else. But I did this the same. And look, you're sitting right in the front in the middle. It's okay. It's a good thing. That's why you're a teacher. I bet you're a really good teacher. And listen, I'll tell you a story so you won't feel so bad. So, you know, when people always ask me how to understand your child's natures, this is also important for teachers, so it's not just a side thing. Okay? I'm not just wasting your time. So we want to, it's not this though. So we want to engage the children according to their natures. How are we going to find out what is their natures? So the person's nature is something they cannot repress. They will always do it. And they will do it even if you punish them, even if you reward them, no matter what you do. And in children, their natures are often annoying. So I started school, nursery school, preschool, when I was 3 years old. And the teacher complained to my parents about me. And for my whole life growing up, whenever I would behave like this, my parents would remind me, this is a problem. Even your teachers have complained about this. What do you think they complained that I was doing? What do you think I was doing, starting at 3 years old, that the teachers thought was a problem?
Taking the lead.
Maybe overacting.
She knows because she's a saint. I was taking the lead, and what was I doing?
To the teacher also.
Okay, no, I was taking the lead to do what?
To answer.
No.
Talking.
Take the teacher's place. Yeah.
I was being the teacher. The teacher came to my parents and said, "Your daughter is a big problem. She will not be a student. She's always coming up to our side of the room and trying to be one of the teachers. And she's always telling us how to teach better." So all the time I was growing up, my parents say, "See, you're being a teacher again. Stop this." Seriously. My whole life. My teachers, my parents, everyone. Your teachers even complained when you were 3. And it wasn't until I was 24 years old that I realized I'm a teacher. Remember that. Often the things in your own children and your students that are most annoying, it's simply their nature that you haven't... They should have engaged me in teaching, you know? The teacher should have said, "Oh, you want to be a teacher. You can help like this." They should have engaged it instead of trying to kill it, right? Obviously, they couldn't kill it. It didn't get killed. So I'm not criticizing you. It's just that right now, for myself as the teacher, it is my responsibility that every single person in the class understand this, and in a limited amount of time, if I don't give opportunities for others, they will not know. So, my apologies to you.
No, sorry about this.
No, you don't have to be sorry. I'm saying, I understand. I understand completely. Not completely. So, some other example with this of creating. By the way, that is a big challenge as a teacher, to involve everybody without squelching your most gifted students. I felt so squelched in school. I really did. I felt that I was embarrassed that I was eager, and I was embarrassed that I was smart. And it was a really sad thing. This is a big challenge. If we had more time, I would give you something to do. Actually, I could do that. Why don't you do that? Write down 5 ways they could create with this. You do that while I'm working with everybody else. Okay. And you should take some lead here with the teachers after I'm gone. No, don't say no. Don't say no. And one devotee who's a psychiatrist, he's writing a book on personality types. So he was testing some things, and he was giving the test to all the devotees in the community, and then he's discussing with us. And he looked at mine, and he said, "Urmila, you cannot not lead." So I surrendered. So surrender. It's okay. You can be here. What? Can you write down 5 things?
What is the exact Excellent. Question? Was it 5
On things? This page about obedience. Here, you can look at mine. On that page. Write down 5 activities that would involve creating, and see if you can do that with more than just verbal. Do you have the chart? You have the chart up here. You can look.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
I'm asking other people. Creating. Give me something in creating.
You can draw something on the picture.
That might just be understanding. So if they're going to translate words to a drawing, that is translation. That is understanding. Give me something with creating. This is a very difficult question. Yes?
Can we create a scenario where one of the children can become someone who has disobeyed the rule in the school or
okay.
traffic lights, and some other child becomes the lawyer or the interviewer, you know, so like a play, and we tell them to find out what is wrong and what is right.
That is applying. That is on the level of applying. And that is an excellent, excellent activity for application. And which would it be here? Which talent?
Maybe can,
which of our talents? It would be some kinesthetic, and also what else? Mostly what?
Interpersonal.
Okay, I'm going to make this a little smaller so we can try to have it fit. So it would be, that's way too much smaller. Come on, behave. Nothing in the middle, you know. Computers. Okay, now at least you can see all of them. Okay, so that would be interpersonal and kinesthetic application. But it didn't get to creating yet. Creating is hard. But this is what sticks the most. Are we okay with time? It is 12:30. Is everybody okay?
Yes.
You're not sure?
I am.
Can we go until 1?
Yes.
Yeah, we are just, it's getting, the plate is getting hot, so we don't want to miss out.
Yeah, we should have a clear picture about this as we have.
As much as you can. I'm trying to give you 30 hours in 1 hour.
We are ready, but I'm ready.
Okay, it's very, what I'm trying to do now is very difficult. And my feeling is maybe 20-30% will really get this deeply in this amount of time. It's not, and really if we're going to do this, you all need to apply this. So right now we're just doing verbal application, my dear friends. I'm not engaging you in kinesthetic and interpersonal application. I'm only engaging you in verbal application and verbal understanding. Right now I'm just doing this. Okay, you need to go.
Actually, I'm teaching small kids.
Oh, that's much more important. You go. So, anybody else an idea? Creating? Yes?
Mike, as well, they can give an extempore speech on a particular topic, then they're writing the speech themselves on the topic of obedience. They're writing, creating their own speech, and will be speaking it out in the particular place.
Okay. So, there's some creative going on with verbal, but there may not be a lot of creative going on with the topic. So if they're creating their own speech, but they're just giving back the same stuff, then it may be knowing or understanding in terms of the content. Do you follow? Do you all understand that?
Mm-hmm.
So whenever I'm teaching or testing something, I'm especially testing, I'm testing two things, the content and the means by which they're communicating. So if you're doing a computer exam, you have to have some skill in computer exams. And also you have to know the content. If you're giving a speech and you don't know how to give a speech, even if you know the content very well, you'll not be able to communicate it because you're not good in speaking. All right? So if you're writing an original speech, you're definitely doing something creating verbal in terms of giving a speech. But it may not be creative verbal in terms of understanding, demonstrating something creative in terms of obedience and disobedience. Do you understand that? If you've given me this list of these rules and what is good for obedience and what is good for disobedience, and I've memorized that and I've turned it into a speech, I may only be demonstrating understanding. And if I've turned it into a speech in the same way you gave it to me, then I'm only demonstrating knowing of the content. Although I'm demonstrating creativity in terms of the speech. Clear or not clear? I'm going to give this to you after a while, but I'm still trying to get it from you. How to make this activity creative in terms of the understanding of the value of obedience and disobedience. Because you want them to really get this. This is character, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, with obedience, there's the knowing. I should be obedient because otherwise I get in trouble. And if I'm obedient, I get rewarded. I know that. Okay, skill. I know how to obey when people are watching so I don't get in trouble. And I know how to hide my disobedience when people are not watching so I don't get in trouble. Am I correct?
Yes.
Character. I have a love for obedience. I have some realization about obedience. I have some dedication to obedience. It's part of me. By the way, although obedience is important, the soul doesn't seem to be designed as much for obedience as for love. Be careful. Do you know very young animals cannot be trained to be obedient?
Yeah.
very, very young animals can be trained to do something out of affection for their master, but not for punishments and rewards, not work with very young animals. Mm-hmm. And there's some theory that it seems life is not really designed as so much for obedience as for pleasing. That we're more designed to want to please someone than to obey them. And I noticed on your list, just the example was punishment and fear. When we obey due to punishment and fear, then we only obey when the person in power is watching. Any obedience that's based on fear and power only works when we are being observed. But obedience based on a desire to please is part of our character. Okay, what did I just demonstrate when I talked about that? Knowing, understanding, applying, analyzing, creating, or valuing. What did I just demonstrate?
Analyzing.
So suppose you ask the children that. Can you think about under what circumstances do you follow something all the time and under what circumstances do you only follow when somebody's watching? You'd be pushing them to analyze, but I still haven't created anything. All right, but you won't learn as well this way. Anybody want to try? We'll give another 2 or 3 minutes for you guys to come up with it on your own. You'll learn it better if you do that than if I just tell you.
She told us, is it okay if we just create a rule, like on their own, this can be the rule, and then to find a solution?
So the children create a rule.
The idea is the children can create their own little world, or design a world in their heads, create their own rules, and create consequences for if they obey or disobey the rules.
This is exactly what I was looking for. Exactly what I was looking for.
So once again,
if they create their own little world with their own little rules, with rewards and consequences, their own system. Have them create their own system. Now, in order to have them create their own system, you know what? You're going to have to get much more than this list with punishments and rewards. Because, my dear friends, most of us are not motivated entirely by punishments and rewards. Punishments and rewards have very limited motivation. Rewards get old very fast. Punishments get old very fast. And again, punishments and rewards tend to work only when somebody is watching. Yes? Krishna uses punishments and rewards. They work. But they don't work for everything all the time. And if you only had punishments and rewards, people would not follow everything all the time. It only works when the benefit that we get out of breaking the rule is so small and the punishment is so big. It's the only time it works. And it tends to be limited. There's far more there's far more elegant and beautiful systems to get people to behave in a certain way. So then we have to explore that. And that's exactly the kind of thing that you want to be exploring for these guys. So I should say that this does happen to be my specialty. My doctoral dissertation was on motivation and on job satisfaction. But it's something that, and it, as teachers, you've got to know how to motivate kids to follow the rules in your classroom. You know, if your way of motivation is just based on punishment and rewards, it's not going to be that effective. Mm-hmm. And that means you are creating an atmosphere of fear and power. Mm-hmm. That it all becomes, I have power over you. I have the power to punish you and I have the power to reward you. And therefore you should do what I say. Again, that only works if you can really demonstrate that you have that power, and then you're watching. And we tend to resent people who have power over us. Yeah?
Yes.
most of us, we don't like it. We're kind of like, isn't it?
Yes.
I don't really like it. We don't mind if someone has authority because they care about us and we want to please them. That we actually appreciate. We appreciate being cared for. We very much respond to being cared for. And we very much try to please those who genuinely care about us and care for us. But we don't particularly like obeying those who have power over us. And when we're in that sort of a situation, we generally are meditating on, how can I get power over them? Yes, this is true. And look at any history of the world. Whenever there are people who are repressed under power, they are waiting till they get power and they become the repressors. Correct? Yes? Just see in history. So this sort of just through power and rewards and punishment will tend to breed rebellious teenagers. As soon as they get as big as you and as strong as you, and your rewards and punishments are not very interesting to them anymore, and you don't even really have the ability to reward and punish them quite the same way, then they'll say, guess what? Now I have power. Also, you'll push bad behavior underground. You'll just push it to be secret. So they'll do the bad behavior, but they'll hide it from you. And you'll damage your relationship with them. You won't have an honest relationship with them. So be careful. A little bit of power, a little bit of reward and punishment is okay, but it should be small.
At this stage, we can discuss with them in private, isn't it? Instead of punishing ourselves.
There's many ways. That we don't have time today. At all. Like, at all, we don't have time today. I'm just looking at this activity. And I'm thinking, what is this activity teaching? And how can we teach this activity on a deep level? I don't have time to discuss classroom management and child discipline today. But yes, creating their own system. And if they're going to create their own system, then we need to teach them something about how to get people to be cooperative in ways other than power and reward and punishment. Why are you all interested in learning something today about teaching? Because I have power over you and I can reward you or punish you? No, you actually care about the children. It's a very different motivation, isn't it?
Please Krishna.
You really want to please Krishna and you want to be an effective teacher. You want to enjoy teaching, you want the children to enjoy teaching. That's what's motivating you, yeah? You want mastery in your service. You want to become expert in your service. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Yes.
Did you come up with some things?
Just two or three points.
Okay, give me the two or three.
I'm not as creative as you thought.
How about
you're
very eager.
Just about the diet, about the obedience to rules. I was just thinking, if I have my son in picture, so how would I make him obey a diet? So if he has like an inspiration, like in cricket or footballer, then I try to research about him. And all these players, they have this particular diet and the kind of things they eat and things that they do not eat. So just to inspire him, I can tell him like a Virat Kohli. So he never takes pizzas and burgers, or he's never tasted a cola. So so they have these particular things. So probably just... maybe this can inspire him.
Okay. I think you can handle what I'm about to do to you. What mistake is she making? She's making a very common mistake. Who's doing the creating here?
She's
Could you take that? Was that all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I figured you could take it. She's a tough lady. Some people, if I did that, you'd go, I'm never going to go to one of Ramila's classes. Was the other one you had also like that, or did you have the children creating?
For the disobedience, I was thinking that, but I'm sure I'll again fall into that bracket.
It's a very easy trap to fall into.
Yeah.
What did you have? You were going to try and put it in front of everybody and risk it?
I don't. It's okay. For diet, if there's a bad example, like he had a bad example in the family, I did not do anything, but there was this cousin who had all the fallen teeth and whatever. So then he asked me later that why did that happen? And I told him that her parents told you that she's had a lot of chocolates and ice creams. So he's like, okay, maybe if I have chocolates and ice cream, I should brush in the night. So.
Okay, so this is understanding. Yeah. It's understanding and maybe a little application, but it's not creating. So I'm actually very glad that you made that mistake. I actually appreciate that you made that mistake, because it's quite common that many times teachers will look at this and say, oh, I am the one who should be demonstrating understanding. I'm the one who should be applying. I'm the one who should be analyzing. I'm the one who should be creating. I'm the one who should be evaluating. No. You want to come up with activities where they are doing that. They are. So, yeah, with this exercise, the most obvious creating thing that came up to me was they create a system. And in order for them to create a system, then they would need to know something beyond your just two columns of reward and punishment. And I'll just show you. I have this also on the website. Where do I have this? I have this under seminars, handouts. So it's there. I know I'm not doing exactly what you wanted, but I'm going by what I see as needed. I hope that's okay. Uh-huh. Don't kill me, okay? Well, what I could see was you didn't have the background to do what I needed to do. I had to go back and do foundational stuff. So. Yeah. Sorry about that. You start to do something and you see, oh, they don't have the tools, yeah? And you have to go back and you have to build the tools. Okay, so where am I going to find this? What am I looking for again? Oh, okay. This is in my computer, not online. I can't access online very well here. But you can download this. It's on my website. It's on my website under seminars, handouts. Yeah, workshop handouts. Yes, it's under there. 8 ways of changing behavior. I also have given seminars on this topic. You can find the audio for them on ISKCON Desire Tree. So I'm not going to teach this right now at all. But if you were going to do something creative in terms of obedience and disobedience, then you need to first teach this to your students. Don't try to write this all down. I'm not going to have it up there long enough. Go online and just... Well, this is on my computer. I'm not online. If I want to get online, let's see. Krishna, please help me get online. Oh, actually, let me do it here. Please get me online. Probably won't work. I only have like one bar here. Anyway, we tried. But it is there under seminars and workshops, handouts, and it's there and you can download it. And I would suggest you also listen to one of my seminars. So this is 8 ways of changing people's bad behavior. Huh? So this is the kind of thing that you want to teach. Now what you could do, let's go back to our original question. Oh, actually, let me do one more thing, then we'll go back to our original question. What about evaluating? What kind of evaluation exercise could the kids do with this obedience and disobedience? Not where you, the teacher, are evaluating, but where they're evaluating. Oh, right, that's evaluating intrapersonal. I like that. And what kind of thing could they evaluate in their own personality with regard to obedience and disobedience?
What motivates them to disobey
me? Excellent. What motivates them to disobey? I like that. I really like that. Why do I disobey?
Mm-hmm. Can't
do something like that, it should be kept private, by the way. That should not be shared. What things do I disobey and why? I like that a lot. For that, you have to teach them that everyone gets some pleasure out of everything they're doing, or at least the hope of a pleasure, Prabhupada says, Nectar Devotion Preface. We're at least hoping for some pleasure. So if I'm disobeying something, I'm hoping to get some kind of pleasure out of that. That's very nice. Now that's something you could do with all of these groups, couldn't you? But you break them up. You have the older students can just write it. The younger students, you could more discuss it. And you could be discussing it with the younger students while the older students are writing it. And you could break up your two groups, yeah, of devotees and non-devotees. Maybe that you could probably do together. Probably bring the devotees and non-devotees together for that one, because that doesn't require a lot of spiritual capital. So you only have to break up your groups when you're doing something that requires a lot of spiritual capital. You all know, remember what I mean by spiritual capital?
Yes.
They already have knowledge, skills, and values in their bag. Mm-hmm. I like that. Any more evaluation ones on obedience and disobedience?
Life examples.
Life examples of what?
People around them.
That's risky. Okay. You don't want them evaluating other people and their life around them. I wouldn't do that. What's this lesson about, everybody?
Obedience and disobedience.
What is it? Evaluation means what's good and what's bad and why. What kind of things could they evaluate?
The pros and cons of the consequences they might have
faced. Okay. They could evaluate the consequences and which ones they feel were the most effective consequences.
Yeah.
Okay, that's very good. What else could they evaluate? Okay. None of that is evaluating, but that's an excellent, excellent activity. So what are the children doing in that? They're hearing a story,
yeah,
and they're deciding, what was the first thing again?
They can decide whether it falls into which category. So maybe we can put it up into a negative category, where you want to have
So what are they doing there? Which level of understanding?
Analyzing.
Okay. And then when you're saying they could suggest another way, then that is what?
Creating.
Woohoo! And what talent?
And then there even...
Which talent is that?
Understanding.
No, which talent?
Talent.
Which talent?
Interpersonal.
Probably mostly verbal. Okay. So it's probably verbal with analyzing and creating. Okay, but it wasn't evaluating. What would they be evaluating in the story?
Yeah.
What would they be evaluating?
They can create their own story.
Yeah.
Based on the topic, and we can ask them to evaluate and explain it.
That's creating, or possibly applying. Depends how much original thought is going in there, but it's not evaluating. So the ones we talked about that we're evaluating would be looking at different consequences and saying which ones were more effective and why, or less effective and why, and looking at themselves, and they were evaluating, and that would be logical, so that would be mathematical. This is mathematical and logical. And if they were evaluating when they, why do they disobey, or why do they obey? And what, you know, what works for them? What kind of things work for them and why? So they're evaluating different things for themselves. They could also evaluate what they find works with others, if they have little brothers or sisters, or someone that they're trying to get to obey, what they find works with them, what's good, what's bad, and why it's good and why it's bad. Okay. Let's go to back, let's go back to Balaram. All right. Can you give me that paper back again?
Yes.
Oh, I got to the end. Let's go. Which one should we go to? Let's go to Scripture Focus. Any of you have this? Oh, the diacritics are messed up on this one, too. Okay, so these are things that are general that you can do as whole groups. Anything that says general ideas can be done as a whole group. So let's look at this one. When Lord Balaram dragged the city of Hastinapur toward the Ganges, it was like a great earthquake it hit. Put yourself in their shoes. How would the Kauravas have felt? Write a diary entry of how you would feel in that situation. So in our chart, where would this go, by the way? Where would this go in our chart? So write a diary entry. How would the, we're right here. This one right here. Put yourself in their shoes. How would the Kauravas have felt? Write a diary entry of how you would feel in that situation. Okay, let's look at the talent first. What talent is it?
No talent.
Which talent? Let's look at the talents first. Trying to understand how the Kauravas have felt and how would I feel. It's applying. Not kinesthetic. It's also analyzing. There's also some analyzing. There's application and analysis, yes?
Understanding, analyzing.
Well, the lower ones are usually included in the higher ones. So usually if you're analyzing, you're already knowing, understanding, and applying. Usually. Not always, but usually. But which talent? I'm trying to analyze how they felt. That's what? Kinesthetic is movement.
Intra
is how would I have felt. Intra is I'm there, I'm one of the gurus in the city. How would I have felt when all of a sudden my city starts shaking and is being pulled into the Ganga? And how would they have felt is interpersonal. Okay? So I'm really doing an analyzing of interpersonal and intrapersonal. I'd like to give you a homework, home fun assignment. And that is you print out this one sheet and then go through the activities in the Balaram book and decide where they belong in the matrix. Remember, it's from the point of view of the children.
Yeah.
All right? Now, let's say we took this one, which is a general one. How could we divide it up? Now, I don't think we need to divide devotees and non-devotees for this one. I think we could join everyone together. But what would you have the older children doing, and what would you have the younger children doing?
older will be doing.
Older children, understanding only. Older children will be.
Now, this is not an understanding one. We already decided it was an analysis, and we already decided it was an interpersonal and an intrapersonal analysis. We already know that. We already know that. What specifically, what actions would the kids be doing in your room? Yeah.
The smaller group can maybe draw and explain, and others can, bigger children can write.
Okay, so little children could do it verbally, and older children could do it in writing. That would be one difference. Any other differences you think you could do?
Kinesthetic function in our children.
So what would that mean? They would be doing what?
Action.
Well, what would they be doing? Tell me what they'd be doing. I walk in your classroom, I look, what are they doing? Not coloring, please. Yes. They're doing, okay, they're acting it out. That is kinesthetic. Okay. Now, by the way, that is just kinesthetic understanding, unless they're also analyzing the feelings. So you could have the younger children, you could have them acting it out, and then while they're acting it out, you could ask them how they feel, and they could reverse roles, and they could act it out as if they were the crews, and then they could act it out as if they're themselves. You understand? So act it out as if you're the crews, act it out as if you're yourself. With the older kids, they could also discuss it among themselves. And you could ask them not only to write it, you could ask them to write it as a Venn diagram. You all know what a Venn diagram is?
Yes.
This is how the crews might have felt, and this is how I might have felt. And we talked about writing a diary entry. A model for that is Krishna Kshetramarja's books, Agora Smarna, Rama Smarna. I think there's one, Krishna Smarna, where you imagine that you're in the Leela and you write down how you were feeling. So you could... you could print that out. You could print out one of those. There might even be one for this particular Leela, for goodness sakes. And you could give that to them as a model and ask them, you know, to write something like that, and then they could compare it. The older children could also make a list of feelings. You might have one to have a list of feelings available to them. A lot of people don't have... a lot of people don't have a very good vocabulary. Oh, here we go. Needs inventory. Okay, a lot of people don't have very good vocabulary. Why am I downloading it? Because it's pointing from the wrong place. Sorry about that. I hope you're taking notes on this because I'm not able to give you everything at once. So what you might give the older kids... now this should all be... this all has to be prepared, you know. You can't just walk into your classroom. So you could look at the Krishna Smaranam book by Krishna Kshetramaraj, written before he took sannyas. Find if there's some example, if there's some example of this pastime, you can do that. If there's some example for another pastime, you can do that. Give them this as a sample. Okay, and you also want to give people a sample of feelings. You probably want to give them a list of feelings, because we're asking them, how would the kurus feel? How would you feel? You don't want just happy, sad, good, bad. Okay? And many, many, many people do not have a good feelings vocabulary. Many people have a very hard time describing what they're feeling. So, you know, there's lists of feeling. By the way, giving your kids a good emotion vocabulary will help them tremendously in their life, in their personal and in their business relationships. That will also help them in their spiritual life. So these are basically what we call the positive emotions. These are what we would tend to call the negative emotions. So to get some lists, we have a list, if you have our Learn to Read program. So we do have a list in the very beginning book of feelings, a list of different emotions. All right. So let's just review what that would look like. So you're teaching a class and you're starting off, you've got your list of what you want to achieve in 1 year, 2 years, 10 years. You've got that right in front of you, you're making sure you're hitting some of that in your class. So then you spend some time in kirtan, right? You spend some time in kirtan, you spend a little time in japa, then you spend some time on the slokas, and you're really working on a sloka system. If you want to use that Bhagavad Gita book we have, you can use that. If you want to develop your own, you can use that. You're working on something where there's cumulative memory, huh? Where there's cumulative memory, where you're not just learning and remembering for a year. Okay, then what you're working on for that day, it has to do with Balaram, and it has to do with the marriage of Samba. So you tell the story, and you can tell the story from the Balaram book. Now, in the Balaram book, we have several versions of that story. So we have, we just have one version. So 48, we have a version of the story, and if you like, you can, tell that story if you're a good storyteller. Please don't tell it boring. Duryodhana had a daughter named Lakshmana. He wanted to sit down. She had lots of husbands. Please stop that. Because she was a princess, she could choose the husband she wanted. Hey, don't do that. Please don't do that. If you're not a good dramatic storyteller, then just print the thing out and give it to the older kids to read. And don't bore them to death. And you can ask. I'm sorry, I've walked into classes in ISKCON where that's exactly what's going on. And the kids are learning, Krishna consciousness is really boring and people shout at you. This is a very simplified story. This is something you could give to the younger children. You could ask the older children to read the story directly from Krishna book. Alright, so then you're going to tell them, this is what we're going to do. We're going to imagine that we are in Hastinapur. We're going to imagine that we are in Hastinapur and Balaram starts to drag the city, and how are we going to feel? Now, some of the people in Hastinapur were there talking to Balaram and they know exactly what's going on. They know that Balaram's pulling the city because we didn't give him Samba and Lakshmana. And other people in the city, they don't know what's going on. Their city just starts shaking. They don't have any idea what's going on. So we have different kinds of people in the city. So we're going to pretend that we're one of those people. We're one of those people. So we're going to pretend that we're like Bhishma, or we're Duryodhana, or we're Karna. We're going to pretend we're one of them. And then we're going to pretend that we're me, that I'm myself, and I'm in the city, and I'm probably a little person, and I probably don't really know what's going on. And then we're going to talk about how they felt. What would it feel like? All right, so that's what we're going to do. Okay. This group over here, this group over there, and the older kids, you've given them a list of feelings, you've given them a sample from Krishna Smaranam, right? And you spend like 1 minute making sure everybody has it, maybe you have some Venn diagram, you have all that ready, and you give it to them. Then you go to the little kids, say, okay, let's act this out. All right, who's going to be Bhishma? Who wants to be Bhishma? Who wants to be Karna? Who wants to be this? All right, very good. And who wants to be just ordinary persons, and who wants to be Balaram, and let's do this. And while we're doing this, let's really think about how we're feeling. That's what talent? What talent? Talent, talent, talent. Intrapersonal. Okay, that's intrapersonal. We're really going to be thinking about how we are feeling. And for the older kids in that group, 7 to 10, who can read, you also want to give them a list of feelings. All right, now let's switch. Now we're going to do it. You take this role. You take this role. Let's do it again and really think about how you're feeling. And then let's switch again. Think about how you're feeling. All right, now we're going to write this down. The little kids, you're going to draw a picture. And a picture of how you felt as a Kuru, big Kuru, and a picture of how you felt as you. And you're going to tell us about that picture. The older kids, you're going to write something, a little diary, something, how you felt. Okay. We're going to pair it up, older help younger. Okay, now I go to the older group. Let's see what you've done. Let's talk about it. And I kind of keep an ear and an eye on that. Okay. Let's see what you've done. Okay, let's talk about it. Right? Then we bring everybody together and we ask people from the younger groups and the older groups to discuss, and we end. Did you get that? All right, I'm going to give you one more assignment to do. I want you to take any activity from the Balaram activity book and do with it just what I just did. And make a plan on what you need. You can do it. Hey, look. What are you doing this for? If you're going to do it, do it well. Do it well. Become expert. Your service will be so much more satisfying if you become. How many of you have to leave right now? Everybody has to leave now?
Yes.
Otherwise, I would have had you do this now. Take one activity, any activity. This will take you approximately 20 minutes. 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 Take one activity. What are you going to do with this activity? What are you going to do? Tell me very clearly what you're going to do. Because I'm going to have you write this down and send it to me electronically by tomorrow morning. They send it to you and then you send them all to me. Yes? Do you want to be an expert teacher?
Yes.
Do you want to really enjoy your teaching?
Yes.
Do you want the kids to say, wow, that was really cool. I want to keep going. I want to be a devotee. Yes?
Yes.
Okay? There's no rewards or punishments for this, folks. You don't do it, you don't do it. 20 minutes today. One of the Balaram activities. First, analyze it with the matrix. Then, what will you actually do in the classroom with these four groups? Tell me what they're doing. So if I came in with a camera, I'd be able to see it. Maximum this will take you is 30 minutes. If you really understand it, it will take you 10 minutes. Somewhere between 10 and 30. Most of you will be able to do it in 20. She loves to have this puzzled look. Do you understand? Do you understand or do you have a question? No, her in the back. Yes, you.
Sorry.
No, not you in the way back. You, right there. Yes, you, who does this when I'm talking. Do you understand or
yes.
No, I'm not asking you. I'm asking the woman behind you. Yes, you. Do you understand or not? Okay, I'm going to write this down. This shouldn't be very long. You should end up with maybe one, two paragraphs of writing. Please do not write 10 pages. If you're writing 10 pages, you're doing way too much and I won't want to read it. I'll look at it and go, oh, do I have to read all this? So don't do that. So pick one activity. And you can send this to the people who have to leave already. And please write it down so I know which one you're picking. If you can copy paste from a PDF, you can do that. So all you're going to write down there is something like analyzing interpersonal. Okay? Write it down. Write down what is it? What is it? Is it understanding verbal? Is it evaluating kinesthetic? What is it? If I walked into your class and I took a video, what would I see? Just describe what the kids would be doing. So what am I asking you to do on knowing, understanding, applying, analyze? What am I asking you to do? What am I asking you to do? This assignment I just gave you. Okay, it's an analyze. You're analyzing the activity. What else are you doing?
Interpersonal.
There's going to be some intrapersonal yourself. And what else are you going to be doing? You're going to be applying what we've gone over today. And if you're really good, you're going to be creating. Okay, you're most likely going to be applying. You're definitely going to be analyzing. And you may also be creating. So, for number three, you're going to be analyzing. For four and five, you're going to be applying, and you might be creating. Possible. You might be creating. Resources, you're also analyzing. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Keep it simple. Don't spend more than 30 minutes on this. You're busy. You have 100,000 things to do. Keep it simple. Don't make it so complicated that you don't want to do it. Don't tell yourself, you know, I'm going to spend 2 hours on this, and then you won't do it because you don't have 2 hours. All right? And this is, by the way, at least how much time you need to spend for every time you teach a class. Now, once you have taught classes, you'll have this sort of planning already done, but you want to spend that 10 to 30 minutes before you teach every class doing exactly this. And the other thing you're going to be bringing into it, to your planning on a regular basis, will be this. So once you've done this as a group, you also want to make sure in every class I hit some of this stuff. Because otherwise, if you have a vision for your school and you never relate it to what you're teaching that day, guess what? You never achieve your vision. Yeah? So I don't have time to do this here. This takes a few hours. So this is the kind of thing you need to work out yourselves. What's my vision? Get it on a 1 or 2 page laminated sheet. Everybody has it in their hand. And every class, just check that my kids are practicing some of these. And again, you don't want to do the same thing every week. Not the same one for me, the same one for me, the same one for me. But within the month, within the year, you're jumping around. I hope I didn't give you like way too much in this time. And what we can do maybe sometime in the future is we'll go through this in more depth. Huh? And we'll do some more practice. The kind of things that we would do if I really wanted to make sure you guys learn this well is we would design lessons, and then we would teach it to each other, and we would evaluate it. So that you can do that on your own when I'm gone. You don't need me. And if you really want to get my input, video it and send it to me. So what you can do in the monthly time that I suggest that you have is exactly this. You go through this, make a little plan, and then teach it to each other, and then evaluate it. And this requires that you kind of put your false ego with your shoes. Because someone will say, hey, the kids weren't doing any creating, you were doing all the creating. Which will happen. People make that mistake. So it will happen. Even very smart and talented people make that mistake. It's very common. So you want to be able to give that kind of feedback, and the person just says, okay, because they left their ego with their shoes. So, you know, I would practice this among yourselves and get really good among yourselves, and then you go with the kids and you're just super. Thank you.